Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, June the 17th. First on today's episode, Kent's biggest school is closed today as teachers and support staff go on strike. They're walking out over 6 days between now and July the 2nd in a dispute over compulsory job losses at Homewood in Tenterden. Now, it's after plans to move the school to a new academy trust fell through earlier this year. I've been speaking to Paige Horsford, who's from the National Education Union.
We've gone backwards and forwards on negotiations. We're now at a point where we have 6 compulsory redundancies, 7 voluntary redundancies, so 13 total, 160 days of support staff hours being cut. And these are the lowest paid, a female-dominated workforce that is being cut. And basically, we're really just... Homewood's experience is going to change. At the moment, it's a great school. Like I say, Kent's biggest school. And it is, Homewood is really well named. It's a strong community. When we first went in December, the staff were really, really loyal to the leadership. They didn't want leadership going. They wanted a particular trust to take over. When that trust couldn't take over and that deal fell through, the redundancies continued. And initially, staff were told, well, we're doing redundancies so that this trust would take over. And then when that fell through, the redundancies carried on. And it's sort of, well, hang on a minute. And it's a real shame because essentially the trust at Homewood, it's gone. Members are angry and sad and they don't know which way is up. And it's a real shame that it's got to this point.
Obviously a very, very concerning situation for all of the staff there. But I should think as well for the children and the families of all those children that go to Homewood, because as you say, this is a lot of pupils go there. I mean, what are you able to say today to those families? I mean, is there any reassurance at all?
We're 100% doing this for student experience. I mean, it's the members who have voted to do this, right? It's the members whose jobs are at risk. But if you ask any of them, especially ones who have taken voluntary redundancy, they're trying to do it in a way that means that their experience won't change. I mean, one of the biggest changes is the community system. I don't know how much you know about the structure of Homewood, but they have communities. One of those communities is being taken away entirely and being dispersed amongst. So the communities will now have up to 100 more students with less staff. So the communities that are remaining, there's going to be no increase to their staffing. It will still be a community coordinator and a head of community, but they're going to have 60 to 100 extra students to deal with, no extra time to do it. And in fact, days being taken away in the holidays. So that's a real concern. And of course, we don't want things to change. And we'd rather not be on strike. The staff members have pushed this as far back as they can go. We've done everything we can to try and minimise disruption. But at the end of the day, Homewood on September the 1st is going to be vastly different to Homewood on the 31st of August. And the members aren't happy with that.
School bosses say A-levels will go ahead as planned today. Samantha Earl is a teacher at Homewood and joined a picket line this morning.
It's really that feeling of anger and just concern about what will happen to the school, what it will look like once these cuts have gone through, these redundancies. We're fighting for our school. We really are. Everyone is going to have to work much harder. There's a hire freeze on now. So I lost my classroom champion a couple of terms ago. She couldn't stand the toxic environment. And there's a hire freeze. So I have random LSAs dropped in for a lesson here, a lesson here. They don't know my key skills children. They have the highest level of need in the school. And there's no continuity. And I have absolutely no support in all of the general admin that has to go on. So I'm here from 8:30 to 7:00 every night and then carrying on working at home. It's only going to get worse if these cuts go ahead.
Now, in a letter to parents at the start of the week, the head teacher said the health, safety and well-being of our students remains our absolute priority and we deeply regret the disruption this causes for our families. Thank you for your continued patience, understanding and support as we navigate these challenging circumstances together. In other education news, a private boys' school in Kent has announced plans for a mixed-gender sixth form. It's the first time girls girls will be allowed to attend Tunbridge School in its 475-year history. Co-ed facilities are due to open in 2028.
Kent Online News.
A man who was driving at 80 miles per hour in a 30 zone when he hit and killed a teenager near Maidstone has been jailed. The victim was on an e-bike on Heath Road in Cox Heath when he was struck by Cameron Langley McCollum's BMW in July 2023. The 23-year-old from Coombe Road in Maidstone admitted causing death by dangerous driving. He's been sentenced to 7.5 years. A man's due to make his first appearance at Crown Court charged with murder after the discovery of a body in Margate. Missing Nathan Jeremy was found in a suitcase at a property in the High Street last Thursday. Bradley Cooper, who's 40 and from Eaton Road in the town, is due at Maidstone Crown Court. Another man's accused of assisting an offender. A second man's been arrested following a stabbing in Margate. Part of the High Street was cordoned off yesterday following reports of an attack at a property. A man's in a stable condition in hospital. Police are questioning a 31 and 40-year-old. Meantime, searches are continuing at a property near Folkestone after bomb disposal teams were called in. Suspicious items were found following reports of criminal damage in the Mead in Hawkins yesterday. Several homes had to be evacuated and residents were only allowed back late last night. Now, a young dad has praised staff at Medway Maritime Hospital after his baby was born with a rare condition. Charlie Hayes and his partner Demi went for a scan when baby Luca stopped moving. He was then delivered by emergency C-section and had to be revived by doctors. He's since had three rounds of surgery. Charlie, who's 19 and from Sittingbourne, has been explaining exactly what happened.
So Luca has a condition called gastroschisis. It's quite a rare condition. Not a lot of people get it. It's the first time I've heard of it. It's basically where inside of the womb his belly didn't form properly. So all of his bowels and intestines were outside of his belly. We was told that it was quite a simple case. But when he was born, we found out that it wasn't a simple case. And he had pretty much all of his bowels outside of his body. And when he was born dead, which was quite hard to see. But thank God to the hospital, they brought him back pretty quick. It took them around an hour to work on him, which the longest hour I've ever been through. But he's okay now. After he went through all of that, they took him to NICU in Medway Hospital. They was making sure that he was okay, basically, because if he needed to be transferred to another hospital inside of London. We was originally supposed to go to King's Hospital, but they didn't have space for him, so then we had to go to the Royal London Hospital. They had space, and thankfully they have been amazing. Within around 4 hours of him being there, they did the surgery on his belly to basically try to fit as much bowels back in as possible, because of they were suffocating his bowels and they were slowly killing his bowels away. After that surgery, they come back and they said he's looking okay, but don't get our hopes up really, because of the surgeries were very high risk. 2 days after the first surgery, we went for another one. He come back even better, which was a shock, amazing. They told us they got even more bowels back in, and that was amazing to hear. When we got to see it, it went from a massive tube about that big to about that much of them hanging out, which was amazing, and they just kept going in and in and in. Around another 3 days after, 4 days, they did another surgery. They got all of his bowels back in. They told us that originally on the first surgery they thought they was gonna have to chop off 2/3 of his bowels, but thank God they didn't have to chop off any. They started healing themselves when they got back in. On the third surgery, after the surgery, he got back and we was happy, obviously, but it was very unsettling having to look at his belly, because if it's not, it's not obviously how a normal belly would look. It was quite round, quite, because they had to stick everything back in. It wasn't the way how it should be, but they got it back in, and he has a big line going across his belly with a little bit of, like, not bowels, but stuff hanging out. It's not the best to look at, but he's doing a lot better now. He's off of the ventilator so he can breathe by himself. Me and Demi got to hold him the other day. We got to do skin to skin. That was amazing. But right now he's looking amazing. So all we can do is keep praying. But they did tell us, don't keep our hopes up at any time, because of anything can happen. But we'll keep praying.
So what was it like the first time you got to hold him?
Amazing. Demi, she was like, he's so light, it's wonderful. And I was holding him and I thought it was the heaviest thing I've ever held. It was quite literally like holding your world in your hands. I'll never forget that moment.
Kent Online reports.
Businesses in New Romney have backed plans to have live monitored CCTV after several were targeted by vandals. Windows were smashed during a hammer attack in March. Town councillors have agreed in principle to the idea of installing cameras, and contractors have been asked to design a layout covering the town. It's understood a construction worker has suffered serious injuries on a site where a new Lidl's being built in Strood. An air ambulance landed near Diggerland and the Medway Valley Leisure Park on Monday. A patient was reportedly taken to a London hospital for treatment. Police are being given more powers to tackle nuisance vehicles in the Gravesend area. A public space protection order has been introduced to try and stop cars, bikes and e-scooters being used in an antisocial manner. Fines could now be issued to anyone caught doing it. Under fire, South East Water is wasting more than 100 million litres of water a day through leaks, according to new figures. That's the equivalent of 40 Olympic-sized swimming pools, which holds 2.5 million litres. It comes as the company is under pressure following a number of outages that have affected thousands of customers, most recently during last month's heatwave. They say they're prioritising fixing leaks as quickly as possible. Next on today's episode, we're going to hear from a Uni of Kent student who arrived in the UK from Iraq when he was just 12, but says he still fears he could be told to leave at any moment. Owls didn't speak any English when his family fled fighting in his home country. The now 22-year-old is in his third year of studying for a degree and has refugee status. He's been telling me more about what it was like when he first came to the country.
It was slightly strange, actually. I couldn't speak a word of English. I still remember I had to use an iPad to translate everything. So to be honest, it felt slightly awful because you couldn't communicate with your other peers and stuff at school. You know, at year six, all you have really is just school friends, but you couldn't really speak to any of them. You just had to use an iPad. However, in all honesty, the teachers were so nice. I still remember them. One of the teachers sat with me like every day trying to teach me English. And I managed to pick up within about 6-8 months, something like that, between 6 to 8 months. So yeah, when I started year seven, it was a lot easier. And then I started getting used to the culture and stuff, and I just started enjoying it, to be fair. Everyone was quite welcoming. There was a few instances of people being horrible, but you get that everywhere, to be fair.
Once you'd got into the school system, was it always your ambition to go to university and to get a degree, especially when you found out about that scholarship? Is that what you wanted to do?
I've always wanted to go to university since I was a child. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to university and then do masters after. Once I got to sixth form, I started like noticing that university was slightly of a bit of a stretch, because your asylum seeking application took like, it takes ages. Absolute ages for them to give you an answer, and without having, you know, the answer, you can't apply for student finance and stuff. So as it got slowly to the end of sixth form and you still haven't got an answer, you're like, oh god, that dream starts stretching away. And then, but you still of course apply, but when I first applied, I had to extend it by a gap year because I had no idea about the scholarship, to be fair. It was all by chance that I found it, so I'm really glad that I did find it. It genuinely changed my life.
And you mentioned there about having to wait such a long time for your status to be confirmed. What position are you in now?
Refugee status. I haven't got a passport. I only got a travel document. So a lot of the time you'll need visa entry for places. a lot of the time you apply for a fees and you'll get rejected for it. In terms of everything else, really, you still pay your taxes, you still do everything the exact same. You just might not arrive as many benefits as like someone who holds a citizenship. You can't access as many things probably. But I haven't let it really stop me. I just gotta keep going.
Absolutely. Do you find it frustrating that that system takes such a long time and that you're kind of, I guess you do you feel in a bit of limbo as to you're not quite sure what's going to happen? How does it make you feel?
Well, with the ongoing changes in the government and stuff, you really have no idea what could happen. Yeah, and it's sad to see what's going on around the world, really, not just the UK. Because a lot of people think that refugees and asylum seekers are the problem, but in reality, it really isn't. They make such a small percentage of, the population that. And all of them, really, most of them I know are working multiple jobs, doing everything they can just to survive. But people see them differently, and I think it's the big media and stuff that have changed people's perspectives, unfortunately.
Yeah, has that made you feel concerned in recent months and, well, years, I guess, because there has been a minority, but as you say, some very high profile cases that have got an awful lot of attention, haven't they?
Yeah, a huge attention, and 100%. I definitely got concerned, to be fair. The example, I have no idea if anything could change, and then I end up losing my status, for example. That could literally happen anytime because, for example, America, literally like that, and then the exact same thing happened, and people are getting kicked out for being a specific skin color, for being a specific religion. And it's sad to see because at the end of the day, we all bleed red. We all have hearts. It's like, it shouldn't be the case.
And as you say, you've been here since you were 12.
Yeah.
You've been in this country for 10 years. I presume you've not been back to Iraq in that time, so you would not know, I presume. Well, tell me, you would not know the country where you grew up. Do you feel that you know Britain much better and
Oh, 1,000,000%. I know Britain a lot better than Iraq, but I still have connections like to Iraq itself. At the end of the day, it's my home country. It's like still love it, but I also, as you said, I don't really know much about it anymore because I spent my childhood is pretty much here, like year six. From year six onwards, always been here, worked here, studied here. So yeah, it's like. But I'm still not seen as someone who's British, if you get what I mean.
how much would you love to be able to get citizenship and to say that you're British? Is that what you would like?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've been here for so long, like it would be great, but also it would just be great to be allowed to chase your dreams without having like struggles and stops at every single bit. You like when you're an asylum seeker and ref with ref or with someone with refugee status, you will always find a barrier that is caused by that specific thing. But for example, asylum seekers, when they apply for jobs, it was horrendous. Like it was such a hassle to find jobs and stuff. Once you get a job, you gotta go through the whole visa checks and everything. Same with refugee status, but not as bad anymore. And going having to go through that barrier wasn't fun, really.
Els was speaking as events take place to mark Refugee Week.
Kent Online reports.
Developers have resubmitted plans to build new homes in Faversham 3 years after they were rejected. The Abbeyfield scheme could include 240 properties, which is 60 more than previously proposed. Residents have raised concerns about the impact on traffic, wildlife and water supply. A yellow heat health alert is due to come into force across Kent today. It's because temperatures are due to be in the high 20s over the next week or so. Experts say it could put vulnerable people, including the very young and elderly, at risk. A former Gurkha soldier from Canterbury has been recognised as a Guinness World Records icon. Harry Budamagar became the first double above knee amputee to climb the highest mountain on every continent. He's on a list of seven icons. And finally, Hot Fuzz star Nick Frost has hosted his first solo art exhibition in Deal. More than 40 of his pieces have gone on display at the Linden Hill Studio in St George's Road.
Kent Online Sport.
A Kent footballer says it was a privilege to captain the England team at the Seniors World Cup. 43-year-old Jamie Coyle, who manages Margate, travelled out to Thailand for the tournament, which features older players. England won for the fourth time in a row. On to cricket. And Kent player Jordan Cox is due to make his debut for England today. The 25-year-old, who was born in Margate, is in the side for the second test against New Zealand at the Oval. England are 1-0 up in the series. And ahead of England's first group game at the World Cup, lions at an animal sanctuary in Kent have predicted the result. The pride that was rescued from Ukraine now live near Smarden reckon Thomas Tuchel's side will roar to victory against Croatia. They also reckon they'll have success against Ghana, but could lose to Panama. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.